Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. Joining us now is Jeff Hem, play-by-play broadcaster for the Nashville Sounds. Before we get into the Nashville Sounds opening weekend, Jeff, just wanted to get your thoughts. I know you're a dad, and I know that the actions and the tragic events that have happened in the city of Nashville over the last few days have certainly hit you hard. It's something that we've been discussing, something that we're opening up our phone lines to our listeners all day long. So just kind of your thoughts on some of the tragic events that have happened over the last few days in the city of Nashville.
Hey, guys. Yeah, thank you for having me on. And it's awful. I have no other word than awful to use first and foremost. It's brutal. The fact that schools have to go through these things and consider these things. I'm married to a teacher. It's just awful that it's happening as often as it is. I know everybody's around this market is in mourning. Some unfortunately way more heavily than others. It's brutal. I appreciate what you guys have done on your show so far today, talking about it and just letting people call in and vent and mourn and share their thoughts. It's just absolutely brutal. And I'm tired of having to, feel the things that we keep having to feel.
Tired of having to say enough is enough.
But yep.
I know that we've been trying to be at least a glimmer of light in a really dark time for this city. That's what sports can do. And that's exactly what the Nashville Sounds are going to be for this city this weekend as the Sounds open up their season finally at First Horizon Park. Just kind of overarching question, what are you looking forward to most about this team going into this season?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to how much of last year's fun continues, because as you guys know, and a lot of our fans have gotten accustomed to over the years, at the AAA level, there's so much roster movement. It's just almost daily and sometimes multiple moves in a day with how injuries happen in baseball and how long the season is. And we're again AAA for the Milwaukee Brewers, who are again looking to contend in their division and get back to a postseason where they'd been several years in a row before last year. And so as all that movement was happening last year, we had an amazing season. A lot of guys went up and down. Some guys went up and stayed. And our team won 91 games and its division by the time it was all said and done. That is not easy to do. And to have the type of clubhouse and the togetherness that team had last year, it was really special, because not all AAA teams are that way. It's such a melting pot with so much movement. So to have the togetherness that we had with that club last year and what our manager Rick Sweet and the coaches did and oversaw was very unique. And so I'm looking forward to seeing how much of that continues, because some of the names that were part of that are going to be back, but invariably with the nature of baseball transactions, there are going to be new faces. There are going to be more prospects coming up. And so can you kind of continue what made last year's team so unique? So from a baseball standpoint, that's what I'm looking forward to. And we saw some dynamic talent come up here late last year, not just Brewers prospects, but top 100 prospects in the game. And at least to start, we're going to have some of that again this year. Sal Frelick and Joey Weimer in the outfield. I'm so happy that Bryce Terang made the Brewers opening day roster. I thought he would get up there for sure this year. I didn't necessarily think it was going to be opening day, but he deserves that chance. He was so critical for the Sounds last year. So you love those successes, whether it's with your own parent club or somewhere else around the game, just because it's so hard to get to the big leagues. And then off the field, I'm looking forward to another great year with our fans. 2 years in a row now, the Sounds have been number one in all the minor leagues in total home attendance. So we know people in this market love baseball. We know they love to come out to the ballpark, even if they're not a diehard baseball fan. We've got something for everybody. So that combination last year of the volume of people who came out and what we had for them on the field, thanks to the Brewers, was really special, and there's no reason to think it can't continue in some capacity again this season.
We'll talk with Jeff Hem, Sounds play-by-play announcer. Now, Jeff, you said something interesting just a few seconds ago, because when we look at sports from a team aspect, especially professional sports, we think, okay, we have players within a locker room that sort of keeps everyone together, and that whether it be a leadership council or that captain or captains that sort of fills the temperature of the room and keeps everyone together, whether it's going great or not. But in this situation, because there's so much movement within the ball club, guys going up, guys coming back down, that sometimes you can't get too familiar with a guy. You can't get to know a guy the way you need to in order to make that happen.
Mm-hmm.
So with that being said, is it really imperative on a coach to continually make that happen? Because he's really the only person that's the stable one. The coaching staff is the stable one in that bullpen, dugout.
Yeah, you're right, D-Mace. They play a critical role because, like you said, they're going to be there all season. The guys on the team out on the field are going to come and go. And I think what Rick Sweet, who's a veteran manager, I mean, top 10 all-time in minor league managerial wins, and his staff, our pitching coach, Jeremy Accardo, hitting coach is Al LaBeouf, and bench coach again this year is Ned Yost IV. They were all there last year, and they're going to be back with us this year. They do such a great job in enjoying the success of the guy who's going up, but then knowing after that one guy who's chosen to go up, there's two or three other guys who were in the mix to go up that didn't, and those are the guys that they're mindful of and going to that player and said, hey, I know you wanted to be the one that's going up. Here's why you're not right now. Those are hard conversations to have, but I know that the players appreciate the honesty. They like knowing how they're being evaluated and what part of their game is maybe keeping them from the big leagues. And we always hear about players wanting to control what they can control. The Brewers and all these MLB teams, I think, do a great job of communicating to their players, not just being off in an office somewhere, but having real conversations of, hey, here's why we think you can get to the big leagues, or here's why you haven't, giving them things to work on so that when the next opportunity, in this case in Milwaukee, comes around, the guys know what can put them in a position to be the next guy. And the other special part of last year's team is those few guys who I mentioned in that example who may not have gone up in whatever time that was, they still found a way to be truly happy for the guy who did go up, which is not an easy thing. I mean, D-Mace, you lived it as an NFL wide receiver. I mean, you know, there's no minor league football in that sense, but, you know, if you're competing for all pro or whatever and you weren't the guy, but one of your teammates was, it's not always easy to truly deep down be happy for that teammate when you would have loved to have been in that scenario yourself. And that unselfishness is challenging at the AAA baseball level. But I think we had a special group last year of guys who, of course, wanted to be in the big leagues. But if they weren't, they found a way to enjoy the fact that some of their teammates were going up.
It is pretty cool to think about the parallels, the Nashville-Milwaukee connection with most of the Predators right now.
Yeah, you know it, Willie. Yeah,
this year. Yeah, it's a pretty cool thing to watch. And the Brewers and the Sounds have that same kind of relationship. Jeff, I want to ask you, you know, Major League Baseball is implementing all these rules this year, and you've seen it. You've been watching it the last year or two in AAA where they've implemented these rules. So you have a better view. I know there were a lot of Major League Baseball fans I was watching, like national people, who were saying, man, I don't know about this pitch clock and everything like that. This is going to mess up the game. Baseball shouldn't have a clock. And I just kept thinking, they need to talk to some AAA people because it's not time to panic here because it really has helped. And I think after about a month of minor league ball games, I think they're starting to get the picture.
Yeah, I'm with you 100%. I absolutely loved it. And basically, for listeners who aren't familiar, almost every part of what MLB is doing this year, we were the testing ground at AAA last year. The only part we didn't have that we will also have at like the MLB level will is now no more shifting. You've got to have two infielders on the left of second and two on the right. You can't put the second baseman out in shallow right field to take away the left-handed batter who's got some power. So we're the same in that way this year as the major league level. But yeah, we had the pitch clocks last year. They're wonderful. It didn't affect the runs per game. It wasn't as though everything was all of a sudden a 1-0 game because of the pitch clocks. It truly cut out the little bits and pieces of nothingness in a ball game that add up over time. If there's any MLB fan out there who's hesitant to like it or still not sure about it, trust me, you will over time like it. I think the players will adapt, some more easily than others. But, you know, the first 2 weeks when we had it last year, it was extremely noticeable, and we had extremely quick games. Then pitchers started to realize, okay, that 15 seconds, that 20 seconds, that's a lot more time than I thought it was. And instead of delivering the next pitch with like 11 seconds left on the pitch clock, it was more like 3 or 4 seconds or 1 or 2. And so the games leveled out to be in that sweet spot, 2.5, 2 hours, 40 minutes, not the hour 51 outlier, but also rarely did we go 3 hours last year, 308, 311, those kind of games. So there's so much to like with it. I'm curious how the shifting rules play out, but the actual pitch clocks at the MLB level has been long needed. And as amazing as the World Baseball Classic was, those were extremely lengthy games, and it was noticeable because they did not have the pitch clocks compared to what spring training was having as that was going on concurrently. So it's really noticeable right away. I think the players and fans will kind of forget that it's there as the season goes along, and maybe a time or two every few games you'll have a violation. But I don't think it's going to be intrusive. I think it's only going to be a positive. And this is for the fans. Make no mistake about it. This is for the fans and our attention spans and our enjoyment of the game and increasing action. It is all with the fan in mind. And as a fan of the game, I absolutely love it.
Jeff Hem, Nashville Sounds play-by-play broadcaster. Appreciate you for joining us, and we look forward to seeing you at the park very soon.
Yeah, thanks, guys. We start Friday night. We've got fireworks after the game. We've got an opening weekend ticket bundle opportunity out there with a T-shirt as well. So we'll look forward to seeing everybody this weekend and throughout the spring and summer.
Awesome. We'll see you there. Thanks, Jeff.
Thanks, guys.
Yep.
All right, Jeff Hem, play-by-play announcer for the Nashville Sounds. I will be there on Saturday. Very much so looking forward to it. We'll get right back into your phones coming up next. It's Caroline Willie D. Mays, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.